Great to have your company. Filling in, of course, for Steve Price on Nights. Give us a buzz. 131-873 is the open line number. Something a little different. I want to talk to you about, of all things, olive oil. Now, you know, these days we're all wine connoisseurs, we're all coffee connoisseurs. Everyone knows their favourite coffee shop. Everyone has their favourite drop, all of this stuff. But one product that this country is doing particularly well, most certainly in the current climate, and we are really beating some of the world's best at it, is, believe it or not, olive oil. Now, we might think Italy's the home of olive oil, or Spain, maybe Greece. You know, poor Greece, they need all the help they can get. But one thing that we seem to do better than the Europeans, and arguably we can do it cheaper than the Europeans, is olive oil. I want to have a chat to someone who knows all about it, knows it back the front. David Valmabida is the president of the Australian Olive Oil Association. He joins me on the phone. David, good of you to give us your time this evening. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Michael. Nice to be talking.
Now, it's true, isn't it? I mean, we're all wine connoisseurs. We all go and, you know, sort of swish it around in our mouth and spit it out and talk about the nose and the colour and all that rubbish. We're all coffee connoisseurs, but people seem to think olive oil is just, well, olive oil. Doesn't matter what you get off the shelf, as long as it fries the meat or the veggies well, well, who cares? But as they say in the classics, oils ain't oils.
Well, that's true, and I guess wine and coffee is certainly a product that's easy to taste because you consume it by itself so often, whereas olive oil, you know, you are mixing it with other things, you are cooking with it, and it can be hard to taste the difference once it's inside a meal or inside a recipe, but certainly there are a great diversity of types of olive oils and of quality of olive oils from all around the world, some of them better than others, and obviously personal taste comes into it, just like it would with a wine.
Now, I have to be honest here, I buy only Australian olive oil. I go down the shops and I see the brands, be it Cobram or whatever, and I get it off the shelf. I think it's reasonably priced compared to the overseas stuff. And look, I'm surprised more Australians don't buy the local product. Why? Is it a marketing issue? Is it the fact that Australians just, you know, associate olive oil with the Mediterranean and not Australia? What is it?
Well, I don't think it's a marketing issue. And in fact, I would say, Michael, there's probably not an issue at all. The Australian producing olive oil industry is relatively young. When we consider that Australians started consuming olive oil back in the 50s when Italian and Greek migrants started bringing to our shores olive oil, there was not really any producing industry then. And even now, you know, Australia's producing perhaps on average 25 to 30% of the olive oil that Australians consume. So there's no doubt that, you know, there's a big market for imported olive oil, and we as a country need it. For example, last year, the production of Australian olive oil was around about 11,000 tonnes countrywide, but Australians consumed about 42,000 tonnes of olive oil in total. We're a very high-consuming per capita nation of olive oil. In fact, the highest outside the Mediterranean basin.
So, fascinating, yeah.
You know, there's certainly, you know, a lot of wonderful oils coming out of Australia now, as there are wonderful olive oils coming from all around the world as well. So the price point that you talk about, I think, is one that's improved a lot over the last decade. Australian olive oils traditionally were very expensive at the start, but olive oil is certainly a product that benefits from scale. And as the production has increased in Australia, also, the price competitiveness has improved.
So, I suppose as it moves out of being a bit of a boutique industry into something more mainstream, like with everything, I suppose the price becomes more competitive.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But what's really important to realise about olive oil, which probably a lot of people don't recognise, is it's an agricultural product. So from 1 year to the next, a particular country might have a huge harvest or a small harvest. And in fact, I mentioned that Australia just had, you know, perhaps 11,000 tonnes last year, but the year before that, there was 19,000 tonnes. And whether it's hot or dry or whether there's a fruit fly infestation or some other disease, it can really affect the demand or the supply of olive oil. In the last 12 months, Europe had a whole lot of issues with regards to drought and fruit fly infestations. And so the price of olive oil globally went sky high. And in fact, Australian olive oil is one of the cheapest olive oils you can actually buy now globally.
What about the export market? I mean, you talk about this globalised thing. I mean, here we are signing free trade agreements, particularly with Asia. The sort of Australian flag, the Made in Australia logo, brings a lot of clout with it, a lot of stuff to do with quality and you know, good produce. Are you guys, I know you say it's, you know, between 11 or 19,000 tonne harvests, but are the big companies here already starting to look to export to those rather lucrative markets in Asia?
Yeah, there are definitely companies who are doing that already. And in fact, As you say, the Asian market, and I don't want to generalize too much, but certainly they place a high value on healthy products and also on confidence in quality. And we see that in even the dairy exports of Australia to places like China. 2 years ago, when Australia had quite a big harvest, you know, I don't have the data in front of me, but, you know, a good proportion of that, you know, nearly 50% would have been exported. It's exported sometimes as a bulk olive oil and sometimes in the finished package format. And as we see the brands developed or the Australian brands develop, we might see more and more package brands being exported. It doesn't change the fact, though, that Australia is a tiny, tiny producer in comparison to the world scale of olive oil. In fact, we're producing probably about 0.5% of the world's olive oil. And if you compare that to a country like Spain, who's producing on average about 50% of the world's olive oil, when you talk about these massive clients overseas or massive supermarket chains, in many respects or many cases, an Australian producer just isn't on the scale that can offer them a solution.
No, where the groves, the olive groves, are being grown, is that basically in areas where grape harvests have suffered because of wine gluts and the vines have been ripped up and olive trees planted, or is it a completely different kind of terroir that is expected for olive groves?
In Australia, we see actually a bit of a mix. I mean, the olive groves are quite suited to Mediterranean type condition. And you do see some areas where you'll find olive groves next to wine groves. I'm not sure that there's a causal link between people ripping up wine or vineyards and putting in olive groves. In fact, a lot of the olive groves in Australia were planted, you know, a decade or more ago at a time when, in fact, there were incentives for farmers to and we're talking, you know, government incentives and tax incentives to plant both wine and olive.
Yeah.
But we see, you know, in Australia, we see quite a lot in the south and southeastern corner of the country, and then over in WA and Perth, we have some wonderful olive oils being produced.
Just two quick ones to finish with. I mean, what you said, the olive oil experience, taste in Australia really started 50 or 60 years ago, particularly with the Mediterranean migration post-war. What has olive oil really replaced in the fry pans? Are we seeing, is it the end of lard and butter as lubricants instead of oil now, is it?
Yeah. Well, look, if my dad were here, he'd be talking about the meat and two veg.
Yeah.
You know, that was in those days. And obviously, I think there was a lot of butter, a lot of lard. And the first step for olive oil into our market was, you know, quite a gentle step. There was olive oil available in chemists, and it was actually considered more of a health tonic. I mean, it's an extremely healthy fat, and just because of the structures of the fats, that's the most important thing about olive oil. And you get that whether it's an extra virgin olive oil or even just a light taste olive oil or traditional or classic or pure olive oil, as it's known. But I guess as the consumers have become more sophisticated, people are starting to look for the different tastes. And, you know, you can get a particular olive produced in Italy that's not produced in Spain and that has a different taste. And then a particular olive produced in Australia or a particular terroir or finish or profile of the product. So there's just quite an adventure happening now where people are starting to experience. And, you know, you wouldn't drink a Shiraz or heavy Shiraz with a very delicate piece of fish. So equally, some people are saying, well, I need to cook my fish with a delicate olive oil.
You might if you're eating after 11 o'clock, but you know,
that's it.
You shouldn't. Just finally then, David, on that issue of the different tastes, so what is it? I've done a few olive oil tastes at different food shows and whatever, and I've enjoyed it. You can certainly sometimes get a bit of that apple, sometimes you get that freshness, sometimes a bit more earthy. It is a bit like a wine tasting, but what does sort of sets the Australian product apart, generally speaking, from your stock standard imported stuff from Europe?
Well, I think I wouldn't want to generalize, but in a lot of cases, Australian olive oil producers are harvesting quite early their olives, and that's because you reduce the risk of getting a grade that's not extra virgin, and that's important in Australia because we don't have the capacity here to refine olive oil, whereas other parts of the world, there's a market for those other grades of olive oil. Certainly, when you harvest early, you tend to get a bit of a stronger flavor because you have more polyphenols, more antioxidants still in the olive. And that tends to be quite strong, quite bitter. And one of the strange things about a lot of the competitions around the world is that the scientists or the tasters are often rewarding quite strong and quite bitter olive oils because it talks to the level of antioxidants inside the extra virgin olive oil. Mm. The converse side of that is that actually a lot of consumers are actually saying, I don't want an olive oil that's too bitter. I want an olive oil that's quite smooth. And that's why we still see a major component of consumption in Australia, which tends towards, for example, Italian-style olive oils, and even some types of Spanish-style olive oils that can be more smooth and less bitter in taste. But certainly, what people sometimes refer to as freshness or that yep. touch in the gut of hitting the back of your throat, that's something that the Australians, if we were to generalize, are certainly producing a profile of olive oil that suits that. Now, it's not everyone's bag, but in the end, you might have a pantry with three or four different bottles of olive oil of three or four different types.
Yeah, well, it's an industry that's on the up. I wish you guys every bit of luck, and great to talk with you, David. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Michael.
David Valmobida there, the president of the Australian Olive Oil Association.